Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios on a bench. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 55212-4227. The numbers are in Carver High. I had it. I was off one. I had 18, 11, 7 dimes, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. The guy that filled in for Mafia, my boy Reed, Willis Reed, had 25 points, 11 boards, 5 dimes. That's impressive. It really is. And 5 threes. I love it.
Mafia going to get replaced here.
I mean to tell you, unbelievable. And the commish dropped 13, including 3 threes. 3 for 3 from downtown, Freddie Brown. I love it. Ballers won tonight as well, but Deep Balls wins in overtime, 80-74. We win by 6, Carver High, an overtime victory. Down 12 with 8 to go, we still win.
And you were getting 15, so.
Getting 15 in the cover. They're very upset that we beat them. We finish as the 3rd seed in the league. Playoffs next week, where we'll be beaten by 20. Anyway, Rick Haro is our sports business and legal insider on CBS Sports Radio. He's in Washington, D.C. tonight for a Cal Ripken event. What is going on there, Mr. Haro?
Hey, my man, Cal Ripken Foundation, Cal Ripken Senior Foundation, honored Joe Madden. So they had both of them up on stage talking about baseball. And to me, it was pretty simple. The Dodgers had a better bullpen and better pitching, but Cal Ripken wouldn't even let Joe Madden have any of it. It was a glorification of the guys who mean something in baseball. And we had a little event, raised a lot of money for charity. And I'm sitting here in the Four Seasons waiting to talk to you.
How about, I got to tell you, the story about Russia being banned from the Winter Olympics is crazy, right?
Nobody expected that. There are even people who are saying it should have been harsher. Well, how are you harsher with a ban? What they've done is they've given them a path to get back by letting the athletes compete neutrally and then see how they do to win. But the whole issue, remember, is who wins more medals. And, you know, with the Russian Federation, not there. They're gone. And it adds some more intrigue to a Korean Olympics, which will maybe be uninteresting. But, you know, the fact that these guys and gals will be competing as individuals, not for Russia, probably adds to some intrigue more than anything else.
How bizarre is it that they're going to play for, like, in some neutral, what, uniform and neutral flag? I don't even understand that. How is that possible?
Well, because they march in, march out with the Olympic flag, and then they compete individually. And it's happened before, but it hadn't happened to this scale. So you got to honor the athletes who are clean, or at least the ones who come clean under this plan. But the Russian Federation is deep into it, and they may come back 4 years from now, but they're certainly not there now. It's a big deal.
Can you tell me about Alabama getting in? How do you feel about it? Because I thought they should have been, the 4th team, because I really do believe they're better than Ohio State, and I thought they had a better season than Ohio State, to be honest.
Yeah, well, so do I. And you know, the bottom line of all of this is you don't have to automatically take a conference champion. And a 2-loss team doesn't automatically, you know, get destined to be in. And so at the end of the day, it's the best 4. And, you know, who knows? Nobody knows. Nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. The committee did as best as they could. And this is a good example of, it's like the jury system. You like it, you don't like it. You lock people up in the room. You stuck with the process, and that's what it is. And now everybody's focusing on those 4 teams. I got to tell you, Alabama-Clemson is going to be a great game, and probably Oklahoma-Wisconsin too. And so we're in for some really good bowl games as well.
The SEC was the winner, though, when it was all said and done, and so was CBS. When it was all, like, over with the you know, Power Fives, it was the SEC that won the day, right?
Won the day attendance-wise, too. You had 75,000, 74,000 at the ACC. But the interesting thing was that the ratings were 8s, 7s, even 9s. And so, you know, they're not NFL numbers, but they're big numbers. And so the conference championship Saturday has become huge. The Saturday after Thanksgiving has become almost even better to watch than New Year's Day.
So tell me about the NFL agreement with its players to partner on a plan to address social justice issues.
Yeah, it's a big deal. $89 million for programs, criminal justice reform, law enforcement, community relations, education. Malcolm Jenkins led the way. Anquan Boldin was involved. So everybody's talking about kneeling or not kneeling for the national anthem, but here is a tangible commitment where the NFL puts the dollars in and says, you're going to actually have access to spending the dollars the way you want. That'll probably defuse all of the stuff about the national anthem. Roger Goodell signs his contract extension. So it looks like the NFL it hadn't avoided turbulence, but it looks like it's relatively clear sailing through the end of the season. Now they've just got to have some good games.
Detroit, Cincy, Nashville, and Sacramento are the four finalists to land an MLS team.
Yeah, I'm betting on Detroit and maybe Sacramento. Sacramento's been at it for longer. And Detroit, you know, the MLS likes the model of doing it in a stadium where the NFL team is there, but they have some kind of equal footing. Atlanta, look how good Atlanta is as far as soccer is concerned. So the Ford family as partners in Ford Field probably looks good. The cities that don't get the deal go back in the pot with the other five or six for two expansion franchises 2 years from now. So MLS looks pretty good heading into the MLS Cup this weekend.
The Mavericks point guard Seth Curry continues to partner with the online education leader EverFi. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So, you know, Dell's kid and Steph's brother through the Mavericks has got a program throughout the Dallas-Fort Worth area where he is thinking entrepreneurially. He's dealing with the kids. He has a roadmap for academic and career success. And kudos to him and EverFi, because the kids are talking about how to succeed and be better students and better business people. And he's got this curriculum where he's out front trying to lead the way on this thing. So it's really good that EverFi is doing it, and it's good that Curry is a spokesman for it.
The NFL Experience opened in Times Square. It was a big event. Michael Strahan, my buddy, was there, and the commissioner, even Giants wide receiver Brandon Marshall, who's never won a big game, was there.
Never won a big game, but he's appeared at this deal. 40,000 square feet, $39 to $44, $39 million expected in revenue, and the NFL expects the Times Square location and the league promotion on a regular basis will make it a must-see in New York every time. Remember, this experience traveled from Super Bowl to Super Bowl. Now they'll do that, but they'll also have one in New York as well.
Tell me about the Miami Open Tennis. They're moving it to the Hard Rock Stadium where the Dolphins play.
How about this? So they're not leaving Miami, but they're not going to Orlando. They're playing the final events in a football stadium, $53 million tennis complex. Steve Ross spending the money. The island ambiance is gone. Remember Key Biscayne? Huge. That's been a great place for it. The lawsuit stopped the renovation, so they're not going to Orlando, but it is closer. You know South Florida, and you put the tennis stadium kind of in the middle of Dade, Broward, Palm Beach County. No more island, but it's closer to everybody.
The countdown's on for the World Cup in Russia. Will they be banned from that event as well?
No. Yeah, but it's a pretty darn good idea, right? They're building all these stadiums, so they are the host, but relatively scandal-free. Then after this one, Qatar gets one, and that is a scandal. But there's no U.S. team. That's a big issue as well. So they're building these stadiums, and we may not care about this next year.
How about Man City? They're going to do a deal with Puma and replace Nike.
Yeah, and again, that's a big deal for them because at the end of the day, they made big, big, big dollars with Nike, and now they're trying to figure out how Puma can probably double the income. They may get even more as well, and other leagues are following suit also, and the deal won't directly affect the World Cup matchups. You can bet Puma has World Cup marketing opportunities in its sights.
How about San Diego State? They got plans for a new stadium. That's fantastic because, I mean, everybody else has left there.
Everybody else left there. San Diego State can't go up the road. They're going to try to do a park, school system area, many acres, 90 acres, at that site where Qualcomm is, and they're saying they can expand it if the Chargers come back. It ain't happening.
Harvard, Yale going to play at Fenway next year.
Every year. The game. So every other year when Harvard is the host, 135 times they're going to do it at Fenway, and the rivalry is defined iconically as the Harvard-Yale deal. Now they do it at Fenway Park, so kudos to them. It'd be cool.
All right, let's go to the Power of Sports 5. How about the new series Versus? What is that about?
Yeah, well, the bottom line of all of this is that there is a lot of money spent with Power of Sports and a lot of money spent with how girls stick together on and off the field. And so there's a program that is dealing with how the girls are spending a lot of money and how they're getting into a better position to be better athletes. Serena Williams is going to be involved, Gatorade's campaign, and television show promotion, marketing, individual athletes. It's a good deal.
So my friend Laura Oakman is starting like a female sports casting venture.
Yeah, a camp. She's talking about how difficult it was for her to rise through the ranks at Fox. Kind of a cool idea, sideline reporter, anchor, other things. And she has some girls involved in a broadcasting camp. It's not just broadcasting. It's how you, gather the courage and also create the assets to be able to do this. And kudos to her for developing a business plan to put this together.
The five top tech stories. How about the Warriors and their deal with Rakuten?
Yeah, hey, so the bottom line is, this is a Japanese company. It's the biggest deal for the patch deal. Adam Silver says we're giving you 3 years to put these together, 2.5 inch by 2.5 inch. And they're going to do the three-year deal and probably do it on a permanent basis. Each of the 30 clubs gets their own opportunity to put it together. More than half have done it. The others will do it maybe by the All-Star game or certainly by the end of the season. Found money for the NBA teams.
And how about Mercedes Stadium down in Atlanta? They got this LEED Platinum certification, doing great things for the environment.
Yeah. You know what? The LEED stuff is important because it doesn't generate revenue. And a lot of people will say, well, so what? Well, but Arthur Blank and his folks are trying to figure out how to have the best environmental rating of any stadium in the country. And they're doing it. They're making the air cleaner around it. They have solar power. They have a lot of good stuff in there. So good for Arthur and good for the Falcons.
All right, Rick, great stuff. Safe travels from D.C. back home. And I'm sure I'll talk to you again next week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all the NFL games starting tomorrow night in Atlanta. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Patriots by 27 on Monday.
Oh, by the way, last but not least, our Canes look terrific against Clemson.
Hey, 38-3. How about that?
Hey, that was better than 58-0.
Yeah, right. But hey, look, wait till next year. Wisconsin, that'll be a good one.
Yeah, I hope they get their act together between now and the Badgers, because the Pitt and the Clemson games made me want to puke. I'll see you, Rick.
All right, man.
All right, there's Rick Haro in DC, our Sports Business Insider. 855-212-4CBS. If you're on hold, I'm coming to you next.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
I don't know what I'm better at, Carver Hyde, dishing out double-doubles and dropping dimes in basketball, or just hitting winners on PharrellOnTheBench.com.
Cover!
Not only that, I hit Washington tonight with a 21 spot against Kansas. I mean, it really is.
Cover
City. It's like Party City, that place you go for parties. They should have a Cover City, and I should be the store manager. So it all starts tomorrow night, New Orleans and Atlanta. And then Sunday, Oakland, Kansas City, Dallas and the G-Men, Minnesota, Carolina, Washington against the Bolts, Seattle at Jax, Philly and the Rams, all good games. Sunday night, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. Monday night, New England, Miami. Did you like that 21-9 Sunday I gave you last week? Or what about the 80% in college football last week? 80% bets hit. All I do is make people fat stacks. I'm doling out every bowl game. They're already posted, money lines and spreads for all the bowl games. So you want to make some things happen in your pocket, go get my snags at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Saturday, Indiana, Louisville, and College Hoops. You get every pick, every sport, every game, every day, NBA, NHL, college, rack, boxing, MMA, daily fantasy rosters that just kill it. I mean, we just kill it for people. And you just cannot beat the deal. $35 a month, are you kidding me? For all of that, and you're just getting it back in droves tenfold. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. 855-212-4CBS. So, here we go. Carson in South Carolina, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the Tigers versus Bama coming up. Sorry for your Canes this past weekend, but Kelly Bryant's looking pretty good. Hurts is, you know, I don't know if he's as good as last year, but I think the Tigers got a chance, and I'll take your comments off.
Well, I think, first of all, I had Clemson to win and laying the 9.5. No problem. It was my favorite player of the week. I never had any faith in, believe it or not, the Canes in that football game. It's just simple. Clemson's way better than Miami, and that was an easy bet, to be honest with you. And I even warned you on the air all week, be very careful with that game because it's not going to go well for the Canes. Their season ended in Pittsburgh. It was such a disaster, that game against Pitt. There's no recovering from that kind of – that's like having – you go out on the date of your life, she slaps you across the face and says you're a loser, and then you go home and you're in the dumps for like a month. You just feel like crap. That's what the Canes were after that Pitt game. They were in the dumpster. It was a dumpster fire. So I don't know how they recover, to be honest with you, after the beating Clemson gave them for the game against Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin – frankly, they're just as good as Miami. They're not. I don't think they're as fast as Miami. I'll give Miami the edge there, and I think Wisconsin can give them fits in that bowl game. To be honest with you, I hope that Canes and Rick get their act together in the next month for that game on the first or whatever it is. So I think the Orange Bowl is going to be great. I wish I could go. Maybe I will. But Clemson, getting back to your question, Clemson can beat Alabama. They've already done it. They know what they got on their table. It's a difficult task. It's a big game. They have to be ready, which they will be. They're well coached. Dabo's fantastic. Venable, the whole staff. This is a championship level football team. They mean business. They are legit. Without a doubt, they're very dangerous. I love everything about them. I love their receivers. I love their quarterback. Does that kid, Carver High, not look like Cam Newton in a helmet, like when he's playing football? Does he not look like him, the spitting image?
He's very good. He does an outstanding job, and he's going to be very
good. Do you think that he can beat Alabama?
Yes.
I think that game's going to be fantastic. Now, all this talk about Alabama doesn't deserve to be there is BS. Alabama is, without a doubt, I think Clemson and Alabama are the two best teams in college football. Vegas thinks Alabama is still the best team in college football.
Vegas thinks these are the two best teams.
Without a doubt. So, to me, it's almost a shame that they're not in separate brackets so that we could see them play for a title again. Would that be 3 years in a row?
Three, yeah.
Which is what I prefer. I think the other game is a letdown compared to this.
So do you think that the winner of this game is going to demolish
yes.
the winner of the other game?
I mean, they're going to win. Whoever wins that game is going to win.
No shot to those other two teams.
I don't know about no shot.
I think Oklahoma could. I don't know. But I don't know. It's tough.
I think Oklahoma is a very good football team. Great quarterback, without a doubt. Look, they lost once, and they kicked everyone else's ass. So they're legit, too. And so is Georgia. Georgia had one bad day. And then they came back and smacked them in the face, Auburn, last week. So they're also very qualified. I don't even want to hear it, but all this talk about Jalen Hurts isn't as good as he was last year, that's nonsense. This guy's a stud. He's even better. I think he's a year older, smarter, better. I think he's, frankly, more polished. You got to remember, they lost to Jordan-Hare, then they never played again, right? That was it.
And they're going to go about.
Wasn't that their last game?
Almost 6 weeks before they play again, which is
that's very dangerous to give that guy 6 weeks to prepare. Trust me, they'll be ready for Clemson.
And it allows
they're favored.
It allows the things that were the problem for them in the Mississippi State and Auburn games, which is health on defense, especially at the linebacker position. They'll get those things healthy before they walk into that game against Clemson on the first.
So, yeah. I agree with that. And look, is there anyone more dangerous in the world than Nick Saban with time on his hands to prepare for something? This is like giving Bill Belichick 2 weeks to prepare for a football game between the title game and the Super Bowl. You see what happens. So there are certain coaches that have that innate ability to take advantage of a month in college football to prepare for something. And this is not the guy you want to go up against is Nick Saban. Look, Dabo Swinney beat him. He beat him. So he's already proven he can do it. So doubting that guy is just stupid business. Don't do it because he can beat him. And they're a very good football team, and they got a great defense. But to disrespect Alabama right about now is a very stupid way to get through your day, if you ask me. Sean in Erie, PA, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scotty. How you doing tonight, bro?
Chilling.
Hey, I was wondering if I can get a cold one real quick.
Freshies!
What I'm calling about here is this whole thing with the whole Ben McAdoo thing here. I think I figured out what happened here.
What's that?
He got a call from Peyton, and basically Peyton said, if Eli breaks my record, I'll kick your...
That's possible. Carver, I said that wasn't funny. It just came in. I'm with you. I'm with you. But Carver High gave that just a slap against the face. Backhand.
You have to be better. I mean, you have to be better. That's it. I mean,
there's a certain level.
This is big boy stuff here. I mean, you got to come with more to the table than that. That's tough.
That's a tough way to make a living right there.
I mean, I like Sean in Erie, PA, but, you know, seriously.
But you gave him a backhand.
That's rough.
It's a rough... Nice effort there, but you just...
Not his best material.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. Carver High is very excited about a couple of things. One, his live show he's doing... at the tavern on 14th Street. It's called Offside Tavern?
Yes, the Offside Tavern.
The Offside Tavern on February 24th at 6 p.m. They're doing a live show, the ILC podcast. And you can hang out with the boys and get drunk and watch the Islanders Devil game from The Rock right at that very bar for the remainder of the evening.
That is correct.
From 6 until, you know, when you get in trouble with your wife.
I can't be out too late that night, but I will be there through the duration of the game and probably a little longer.
Carver High already predicting his wussy ending to the evening when he'll stay only for a show and 2 hours of beverages before he has to go home and tally for his wife more diapers.
No, we have the cruise the next morning we're leaving.
Oh, early boarding. All aboard.
Correct.
Also, Carver High has been doing his calisthenics. We are going to Vegas on the week of January 29th. We'll be there the whole week. And guess what's on February 4th, Carver High?
The big game.
That's right. The Super Bowl will be played in Minnesota, but we'll be in Vegas at the downtown Las Vegas Event Center. We're hosting 5 shows live at the D Casino on Fremont Street, as usual. Right there, View Bar, second floor, every night, 7 Vegas time, 10 East, right here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll be in Vegas the whole week. Come hang out with us and then spend either the week or weekend of the Super Bowl with us in Vegas at the D Casino.
Gotta have it.
Yeah, everybody's doing it. Carver High's been doing his calisthenics. He's been doing double dog down and the double Dutch bus.
Mental preparedness.
Oh, Michael, every time we go dancing till the sun comes up, you always do the double Dutch bus.
No comment.
Canada grannies love Carver High. Oh, Michael, when we drink Labatt Blue and smoke Pall Malls all night and play video poker, those are the days. Steve in the Steel City on the Fan. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
What's happening, buddy?
Not too much. I want to get your take on this regarding the Juju game suspension. There were some grumblings around here that with AB, with Antonio Brown carrying on after the game about karma and paying Juju's fine, that maybe that factored in. Maybe not. Sounds silly, but you know, his suspension held up. So I was just wanting to get your take if you think there's any connection to that.
Well, I think that it's absolute BS that he gets a suspension for a game and the fine, and then the other clown, Ilyoka, who literally, I mean, let's face it, he went full target on his head on helmet on helmet, head on head shot. He tried to kill him. It's hilarious to me how one guy gets lit up, the dirtiest player in the NFL gets lit up, and you can say whatever you want to me, but I'll tell you what, that was a beautiful, just absolute full leverage, kick your ass block. He just lit him, the Pharrell, up with a just nasty, filthy block, full on, laid his dirty ass out. And I thought it was beautiful. And I thought that the Ilyoka hit was as dirty as anything I've seen all year. And he gets off. I mean, screw the NFL. It's a joke. All their stupid fines and all their suspensions are a joke. Everything they do with regards to fines and everything, and the way they disperse those, you know, fines and who gets suspended, and then they, you know, cut them in half and everything else. It's a joke. You cannot tell me that the one guy tries to take the other guy's head off, that that's not dirty. You know what was so dirty about Schuster's hit was that he stood over him and basically humiliated him after he jacked him up. I mean, you can't sell me, and I know people in Cincinnati aren't going to like it, but you can't sell me that that was a dirty hit. It was a beautiful hit. It was a vicious, beautiful hit against the dirtiest guy in the NFL. And there's about 100 guys that would like to do the exact same thing to him. And he's doing it all the time to everybody else, blowing guys' knees out, taking head shots on Brown. That's okay, though, right? But when somebody lights him up, it's not okay. Please. How pathetic. It's so hypocritical. And then the other guy gets away with it. So what they're saying is, in essence, in Spanish, is it's okay to do headshots. I mean, unless you're a model, those are the only headshots I know that are legit. Headshot, head-on-head, helmet-on-helmet, trying to kill somebody is as dangerous as anything in the league. And they say they care about CTE and brain damage and the lingering effects of dementia and everything with football players that play in the NFL and all the headshots they take. The worst problem in the NFL is headshots, right? The worst problem is headshots. But they let the guy that do the headshot get away with it. And the guy that lit him up with a blindside block that lit the guy up because he wasn't paying attention, he gets suspended for a game. So go figure. Carver, how do you think that sums it up in terms of like putting some bubble wrap on that one?
Yeah, I think that you got you circled back and got to the beginning of the suspension situation involving the Steeler-Bengal game.
Yeah, I just honestly, do you think I'm crazy?
No, I don't. I thought it was ridiculous when I saw this morning that they took that guy's one game suspension away. Ilyoka, I mean, he completely went to lay Brown out in the end zone. Brown held on to the ball, unbelievable. He knew what he was doing when he was going after him there. And, I'm with you. It kind of shows the NFL, you never know. Where is the consistency? Just where is it? It doesn't make any
sense.
And
now the league, Carver High, is saying that they're considering automatic ejections for targeting, but you're not going to suspend a guy that does it?
Right. That doesn't make much sense, but I do think they should go to what they do in, but here's the problem with what they do in college, and I get it. They're trying to do the right thing. It takes forever. I mean, they're at that video a lot during the game to check these targeting penalties, but they get it right and they get the kid
thrown
out of the game.
Not only did the guy get no suspension, they reduced his fine.
Really?
They reduced his fine down to $35,464. I don't know what it was originally, but he got his fine reduced and no suspension.
You're on this.
And that's just a joke, if you ask me. The guy, I mean, that's targeting 101 is what he did. I mean, he tried to kill him.
I'll tell you what else from today involving this topic I love seeing, and that was your boy on the Steelers.
Mike Mitchell,
who went off at his locker today when somebody asked him about this whole situation. You think he told it like it was today?
Yeah, he said, at the end of the day, this is football. You want to see flag football? Then let's take our pads off. That would make it easier for me because I know I don't got to wear heavy shack. But give us flags for me to pull off, because that way I know what we're playing. I signed up to play full speed contact football, and we're not doing that anymore. I feel like I got to ask a guy, hey, are you ready for me to hit you right now? Because I'm about to hit you. So anyway, he said that a $50,000 fine from 2 years ago resulted from Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton throwing a bad ball to tight end Tyler Eifert. It was actually a $23,000 fine. I got blank holes like Matt Hasselbeck calling me a dirty player and trying my character, and we've never even met before. And then he said something about Goodell, and he just ripped everybody. And I'll tell you what, I've always agreed with that. Like, I've said this many times on the show, that if you don't know me and you got all this stuff to say about me, I've said this with many over the years, many people that, you know, obviously there's a lot of people that don't like me. I'm cool with that. I understand that. I get it. I can see why people don't like me. Fair enough. But if I don't know you and you're off shouting your face about me and you talk all this smack about me and this and that and all this, and you have never met me and you don't know me, and you're one of these clowns that talks big about somebody behind their back and slams people and calls them every kind of name in a book, and you've never met them, you're a loser. I typically, Carver High, since you've known me, how long have you worked on the show, like 5 years?
Seven.
So I've, in the 7 years that you've worked with me, typically do I just, I pretty much go after people I know.
Yes.
I'll talk bad about you if I know you.
Correct.
And what if I don't know you? I don't know you. I'm just like, I don't even know the guy, so I can't really talk that bad about him because I don't know him.
Well, sometimes we do still talk bad about people.
Some people have it coming. There's a different, there's also that group that live in the cul-de-sac that we don't know, but still deserve
it. But they deserve to get talked bad
about. That's right. So I'm the only person that if you don't know me, you're not allowed to talk about me ever. It's off limits. And that's that. So he's like, this guy, Hasselbeck, doesn't even know me, and he's talking smack about me. Shut up.
Saying how he donated more money to schools in Cincinnati than probably most guys in the Bengals because his nephew lives there or something.
Did he say that too?
Yeah, he said that as well. Mitchell was all over him.
Why did he do that? Why does he, what is he, Mr. Charity or something?
I guess, I don't know. I guess he was tying it into Cincinnati for whatever reason.
I said this last night. Let's just get to the gist of it. They hate each other's guts. Every time they play, it's violence. And that's just all there is to it. And if you can't handle it, go to bed. I mean, I had no problem with it at all. And not only did I have not a single care about all the violence in the game, but I also know that once again, the Bengals gagged on that spoon. They gagged on that spoon. They can't win. They suck. They can't finish. They're dancing around on the field up 17-0. Up 20-10, dancing around, shimmying, and then you lose because you can't finish. You suck, and then you want to cry after the game about how dirty the game is while you guys are dishing it out as much as you're getting it. Shut up. Your coach stinks. He should have been fired years ago. Too bad he's in bed with that old crusty owner of yours. Good evening, Cincinnati. I love the Queen City. Great place. But honestly, the team's, you know, don't blame me. Your team sucks, okay? And the Steelers won the game again. It's unbelievable, but you can't beat them. I mean, do they not own you? You know who they own? The Chiefs and the Bengals like no other, right? Is that about right? And they own the Browns, too, but then again, who doesn't? Dolomite in Chattanooga. What's going on, brother?
Oh, man, nothing. Thanks for having me. I love your show.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the Predators, but, man, now you've got me thinking about this NFL stuff. Is it just no class with these guys, man?
I don't care about class either. I'm with Mike Mitchell. Listen, this is Pain Day. Why do I call it Pain Day? Because it's ballerinas and, like, cream puffs and that sweet stuff? This is Pain Day. Don't you remember when they used to do on whatever ESPN jacked up? Do you remember that? What happened to that? Now you're not allowed to hit anybody without getting a flag and a fine and a suspension. Like, I want to see people get lit the Pharrell up every single week, every game I play. In fact, when I watch, like, every game, red zone, whatever it is, I want to see as much of that as possible. I want to see more guys getting lit up, okay? I love it. Do I watch hockey so I can watch them shake hands? I watch hockey so I can see teeth fall out of the mouth and guys get lit up into the glass. You don't like it? Don't like me. I'm fine with that, too. Oh, all of a sudden now, you, Mr. Hockey, Carver High, you don't like heavy hitting in April and May?
I didn't say that I didn't like
it. You like heavy hitting?
But you know that they've changed the game.
Oh, of course they've pansied the game.
They've changed the game.
Oh, they've pansied the game out. What do you want to say about your Predators? I think they're playing great hockey again this year.
Oh,
I'm impressed with them.
I'm excited. I'm real excited. I was excited last year. Aren't you? I'm thinking you're a Pens fan, though, right?
Of course I'm a Penguins fan, and, yeah. You know, you lose.
It was a great – yeah, we did. We lost. I'm not – yeah, that was a great series. I mean, you know.
But you guys are great. You're in first place in the Central, and obviously you're headed back to the playoffs, and you're a very dangerous team. I respect them.
Yeah, just – I wanted to get your take on – I mean, you get that close to the Cup. I mean, do you think they're that so hungry that – that's what you're seeing here as a team that's like, oh,
no,
this
I've
was
seen teams.
Let's
no,
go get it
no,
again, or no.
No.
What are we seeing?
Well,
man?
I mean, I've seen a million teams lose the Stanley Cup final, and then allegedly the next year they're going to go back and get it again, and what happens is they don't. San Jose, it goes on and on. Whoever loses, loses, and that's it. It's over, and it has nothing to do with the next year. But I will say this. They are a deep, talented hockey team, and they got great fans. It's a great city, no doubt about it.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.